Welcome to Credit and Cash Flow, my friends. It's Jerry Tolliver here, CEO of Fly Credit, and we are here day one. We are here day one to start getting you all the strategies, all the tips that you need to make 2020 your year. We're going to talk everything about real estate investing today with my friends, Dedrick and Crystal Polite. They are real estate investors, they are entrepreneurs, and they are the owners of Polite Properties. And today, they're going to show you how they have built a massive real estate investing, I guess you could call it empire, right? As a couple. And they're going to teach you guys how to do the exact same thing. So welcome, Crystal. Welcome, Dedrick.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Oh,
so exciting. You know, I've been getting so many people that's like, oh my God, I know those people. I know those two. They've been training. They've been tuning into your training, and they're really, really excited to see everything that you guys have to share today. So tell me a little bit about yourselves, right? Give us a little brief overview of who the Polites are.
Okay. You want to go
first? Yeah, so we're a married couple. We currently live in North Carolina. We're from Boston. Both grew up in Boston, Massachusetts. I'm Dedrick Polite. This is
Crystal Polite.
Crystal. Yeah, I know I'm a lucky guy having this one. But yeah, I'm from South Carolina originally, raised in Boston, went to, private high school and private college on a full scholarship. I didn't grow up with a lot of money, single parent household. My mom was on Section 8, oldest of three sons. But I had academic scholarships to go to some of the best high schools and colleges in the country. But, that college didn't teach you how to manage credit. It didn't teach you how to build wealth. They taught me how to go and get a high paying job. And that's exactly what I did. I graduated from Ivy League school, Amherst College in Massachusetts, got a high-paying job in pharmaceutical sales. So I was in corporate America. Good-paying job allowed me to buy my first house at 25, but it wasn't quite, allowing me to achieve my goals and my dreams, right? There was still more. So I always had side hustles. I was always selling this on the side, selling that on the side, because I never had enough money. Even though I was making good money, I didn't really know how to manage my credit and my cash flow properly. So it was when I met my wife a few years after that when I really got into entrepreneurship. And, since we've been together almost 10 years now, it's been a journey, amazing journey. But I feel like we're just getting started.
Absolutely. We also have two boys, a six-year-old and a two-year-old.
Oh, you guys are busy.
Yes.
Yeah.
So they keep us very busy, and they're also entrepreneurs. So we are the true definition of a family hustle, because if you're in our house, you got to be making some cash.
What type of business do
you have? Okay. So my six-year-old, we're actually going to incorporate both of them. We're really going to just start with our six-year-old, but he'll be actually launching his own YouTube channel next year, showing people how he'll be selling. So he has like an entire elaborate toy room, things of that nature. So we're going to get him into sales, which is something like my husband's passion, which is sales. So he's like, listen, our kids have to know the foundation. So they have to know sales, they have to know money. And he's interested in it. So our son loves going to the properties. He loves driving for dollars. He loves everything, every aspect of real estate. He loves money, but he's not where he is yet, where it's like he knows the true value of a dollar, which we want him to, but then again, we don't. We want to keep some innocence to him, but we want him to know, we want to establish early on his sense of entrepreneurship. We don't want him to ever grow up ever thinking he's really going to work for anyone other than us
or himself.
So he'll be starting off in sales. He'll be doing online sales. We're also going to be launching a franchise for him. So I'm actually vetting some franchises now for him.
This is like the next Kris Jenner here.
Listen, in our like multi-families and things of that nature, another good tip for a lot of parents, when you get these multi-families where you put a laundry facility into it.
Coin operated.
Purchase that with your son's or daughter's money, and whatever is made goes back into their account for them. So that's just another tip for what we do with our sons. It's a lot of different things out there that we do with them. So we're now going to like start showcasing and showing people a lot of the different entrepreneurial endeavors that they're into. And they're only 6 and 2, alongside of stocks. So my husband got them into stocks. They have a stock portfolio as well. So, yeah, you know, you gotta do big things with the babies while they're babies. And I tell people, people spend money quicker on kids than adults. So get your kids into,
right,
into something. Like, I won't drive in our neighborhood and pass by a lemonade stand. I don't even drink lemonade. But mm-hmm. if I see kids out there hustling, I'm going to stop.
Gotta support the kids.
I don't care what, if I see kids out there with any type of stand, it could be water, wherever we're going, if there's a kid that I pass by and we're driving and they have water and we have four right there in the cup holder, I'm stopping and I'm buying some water.
I just love because. That. It just shows them the true power of entrepreneurship.
Absolutely. Yep. And you really want to support them where they're young and they can understand it and they get it. Because I tell people, they could either be out here working for it or they could be robbing you for it. So I'd rather pour into them to show them that this does work if you just keep at it.
I love that. So what made you guys get into real estate? Is that something that you always were passionate about, or you just kind of stumbled upon it?
Yes, I've always had a passion for real estate. Since I was a little kid, I've always been fascinated by buildings and skyscrapers and all that stuff. Even for, as a teenager, I used to read books and tapes that my mom ordered on how to, you know, buy houses with no money down, no cash, no credit. In the 90s, I'm reading these tapes and these CDs and watching the infomercials. And I'm like, when I grow up, I want to do that. Literally, as a teenager, I would say that. And it's come full circle. Read Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I was about 21, 22. That opened my mind to investing, the power of credit, the power of leveraging other people's money to build wealth. Ended up buying my first house at age 25 before we met. It was a triplex, so I bought a multifamily. I lived in one of the floors, and I rented out the top two floors, right? The three flat, as you guys call it in Chicago. And the two rents, they actually paid for my mortgage. So I'm pretty much living rent-free. I maybe came out of pocket a few hundred bucks. And that was 12 years ago, right? I still own that same house, and it's appreciated by about $250,000 in equity. And the cash flow, you know, that's more than most people make in a month, the cash flow I'm able to generate off that one house. So real estate is just a proven way to build wealth, right? It's not get rich quick. It's a proven way long term. If you invest properly in real properties, you can build wealth.
Yeah, we got into it together. It was when I met him, when I went to his house, he had all of these books and CDs and DVDs and VHSs.
Right, all this education material. All I was collecting dust, because I would read all this stuff. And after I bought my first investment property, for like 10 years, I didn't buy any more property. I was just educating, reading, but not taking any action. Analysis paralysis.
Yeah, and he was like, yeah, and I'm looking at them. And he was like, yeah, I definitely want to get into real estate one day. And I said, I can see these books. But that was like it. Like, it was never any more talk about it. So I was like, okay, I'm not going to talk about it, until he brought up Airbnb on my apartment at the time. So he's like, oh, you know, because I was always at his place. So my place was sitting vacant, and it was sitting vacant so much. My brother was like, hey, I know you're never there. Can I, you know, crash at your spot? And it's supposed to be like over a weekend. And then 2-3 months later, he was still there. So he's like, we can make some money if we Airbnb your apartment out. And I was like, okay, let's do it.
This is before Airbnb was a verb.
Right.
This is in 2012, when it was still new.
Wow. Right.
And we had literally probably been dating a couple months, maybe 2 months. When he was like, yeah, let's do it. And I, you know, rent your place. I said, all right, let's do it. So I evicted my brother.
See how matter of fact she says that. He had to go, right? He wasn't paying no rent.
That wasn't even a hard decision, okay? He was living there, and I was still paying rent and utilities and everything.
That's why he had to go.
Literally. So we got into Airbnb, and he set everything up, furniture and the ad, the pictures. He had them come over and professionally take pictures.
We started making money immediately.
Immediately. It was booked. Our first booking was for a month. So it was,
wow.
It was a medical student, right, that came over from where?
Brazil.
Brazil or something. And he came over with his family. And he was at one of the...
I still remember that guy.
Yeah, he was at one of the top medical schools. And he came over. And I remember he stayed for 30 days. And even after the 30 days, he was like, hey, can I rent it out for another 30 or something? But we couldn't because we had already had other bookings.
Right.
That had lined up. He asked us too late. And we ended up making about $40,000 in 4 months. Because it was literally centrally located in the heart of Boston.
What did that allow us to do?
Vacationed, of course.
We helped her mom with her wedding.
We paid for my mom's wedding.
Cash for it.
Yep. And we were able to really see the power of real estate. Mm. And that was from an 800 square foot apartment. One bed, one bath, a kitchen,
wow.
And that was it. Bathroom, that was it. 800 square feet, might have been
We
less.
Ended up getting evicted once the landlord found out that right. We were Airbnb. But we had already made a bunch of money. So she just moved in with me. So, you know, it was
like,
a learning experience.
Right. And I tell people, like, you got to take the good with the bad and learn from it. So it literally taught us, like, okay.
Next time, own the property you're trying to
get.
Or let the landlord know.
Right. Or let the landlord know, which is something else we had done. So it worked out for us in the end because it really got our wheels turning as far as real estate. And then my husband kept talking about the wholesale thing. And I was like, dude, listen, I'm a doer. So you can't keep telling me the same thing over and over again because I'm not going to want to hear it.
Well, what did you do about it?
Right. Just like, I don't like people who's around me who complains all day. Like that is, it just irks me when I hear someone, every time I talk to them, they're so negative about something that happened. So he kept talking about it. And I said, listen, okay, look, what are we doing here? What are we doing? And he was like, well, you know, this wholesaler. So I started doing my research on it. And I said, okay, we doing it now. Once I start researching, I'm not get me to reading for nothing now. Come on. Watching all these videos
we gotta
giving
do
me.
This stuff.
We are in it to win it. And we immediately at that point started deep diving. We had a franchise. We sold that franchise for what, 2-3 times what we paid for it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we ended up taking all that money, rolling it into real estate. And we deep dove into education. And what we did to show it now was paid experts in that field
to teach us
their marketing and their
business
models and the processes.
So that's shortened our learning curve from years to
months. Literally.
Absolutely.
And while doing that, my husband already had like an 800 plus credit score. And mine at the time had taken a hit. How?
It was good, but then it had taken a hit.
Yeah, for some.
It was in the 700s and then it dipped into the 600s.
Yeah, then it went to like
forgot
to
pay a couple bills. Thanks.
Yeah, I think it was some medical bills or something, and that's when they just started allowing them to go on to.
Well, we moved.
Oh,
we
moved
from Boston to North Carolina, and some medical bills were
still going
to
Boston.
Apartment that we got evicted from, so we didn't know about them, and then they hit a credit report. So
yeah,
she was like,
yeah.
Since I met you, my credit went down 100 points.
Right.
What's going on? I was like, look, I'm still in the 800 club. No,
that's exactly what you
I said, that's why you want me, because I got an 800 credit score.
I was so annoyed with this dude, too. But I literally had to build my credit back up.
Back up, yeah.
Single-handedly, and I had tried a couple of smaller people.
We hired
you know,
that big law firm.
Then we went to Lexington Law. Who they say is like the biggest
you don't gotta mention their name
out
that
there. that didn't work for us because I found out the process and it was just taking too long. And they were just really disputing one thing at a time, one little thing
it.
At a time.
They milk it.
I didn't know that. We didn't know.
We're paying like what, $130 a month? $139 a month, something crazy.
Right. And then like 8 months later, I'm like, what is going on? So I immediately canceled him and I told him, I said, you know what? I'm gonna do this myself. Well, I've always had credit monitoring. I called my credit monitoring company. I said, hey, listen, I want to dispute some things on my credit report, and they say, hey, listen, here are the direct numbers to all three bureaus. And I said, I don't want to go through a bunch of 800 prompts, da da da. And they said, listen, this is going to get you directly to someone in disputes. So as I called the number, every single number it went to, it was like, hey, Jerome, disputes, Equifax. Hey, Tina, Experian, disputes. It literally took me directly to someone. And they took ownership, and literally within, I tell people within days, probably like 48 hours, I contacted all three and had disputes in. And they typically say it'll take 30 days for them to hear back from someone. I immediately started getting pings that things had been removed within a week. And from there, my credit score started to shoot up. And then we learned from just, he always knew, because I tell people, I joke and I be like, yo, he'll send his own family to jail if they mess with his credit.
Don't mess with my credit.
That my is one thing he don't credit. Play.
Two things we don't mess with.
And we literally, that's when I realized the power, which he had always told me, because his credit had always been amazing. And he'd always told me the power of your credit score and how, you know, it's worth. And, you know, growing up in our area and in our community, you don't, you're not really taught the power of your credit. So
I think my mom actually, my mom was the one who kind of taught me the importance of credit. She had bad credit. But she made it her mission, like, look, I know I have bad credit, but I'm going to make it my mission for my sons to have really great credit. So I remember at age 18 going off to college, and she was like, listen, Dedrick, I want you to have stellar credit, right? So what we're going to do is we're going to get you a secure credit card, right? You got to buy your little futon for your dorm room. What I'm going to do is I'm going to put $500 in your account. We're going to get a credit line for $500, and we're going to pay $100 a month until this is paid off. Did that. Came out of school, I had like a 700 credit score, and it just built from there. So it's really my mom not wanting me to repeat the mistakes she made. She helped me get set up with a really good credit profile.
That's amazing. And that's really the cornerstone of it all, right? Getting your credit right. And then after you got your credit right, then what do you do? That's when you said now was the time to go hard.
Absolutely. That's when we was like, hey, listen, we're in a position. Let's, and you know how we're, I'm a multitasker. So while one thing's working, I got to have something else going on. My husband is a, let's focus on this. I'm like, I can do five things at once. Don't worry about it. We good. So we ended up, we deep dove into wholesaling. We started following, he was following a good friend of ours now, Nasser, the guru, and Max Maxwell. I started looking into, what's his name? From Baltimore.
Witten.
Mark Witten. And I was deep diving into a lot of stuff that he was doing. And we came together and we started putting together what we thought was a plan as far as how we were going to tackle this wholesaling. Well, we ended up getting a mentor. Our mentor had suggested this marketing boot camp. We went to the marketing boot camp. We ended up joining a mastermind. Hadn't done one deal and dropped $16,000 on a mastermind.
And we put it on credit.
Right.
We didn't have $16,000 cash.
We put it on business credit.
We put it on a business credit card. So again, because I had stellar personal credit, I was able to leverage that once we had our C Corporation, the LLC set up. Went to Bank of America, hey, I'd like to open up a business credit card. Run my credit score, okay, no problem. Here's a $5,000 credit limit, business credit card. Through my research on going on YouTube University, I learned that when you have business credit, if you have the right type of cards, it doesn't report over to your personal credit. So you can use that business credit as working capital. What's working capital? Money that you can leverage to grow your business. Let's say you need a new truck for your trucking business. You can use business credit. Let's say you need to pay for marketing, for brochures or a website, use business credit. When you use that, it doesn't affect your personal credit score. You know how if, with your personal credit, if you have a $10,000 credit limit, which I'm sure you guys learned from Jerry's program, and you go over the utilization threshold, so say you go over 30%, so you charge $7,000 out of that $10,000, now your utilization is at 70%. Your 700 credit score will drop down by a large percentage, a large amount of points.
I learned that.
But if you put that on a business card, is not going to show up on your personal credit. So it's like free money. Now, of course, you got to pay that back. And you only want to spend on your business card on investments that's going to make you money that you can pay off and make a profit on. But guys, business credit is super powerful.
Yeah, and we literally used ours to really front our entire beginning processes of building our wholesale business, our real estate business, actually, because our entire premise from the beginning was to buy and hold.
And we knew we were building a seven-figure business. We didn't get started and it's like, oh, we're going to close a few deals, make a few thousand. We're like, we're going to become millionaires. Not overnight, but over time with real estate. And you have to invest. If you want a big return, you got to put up a big investment. So like she said, we spent $16,000 on a mastermind. For those who don't know what a mastermind is, it's getting around a group of highly successful people sharing tips and ideas on tricks on how you all can grow together. $16,000. We didn't have that in the bank, but luckily we had business credit. And it wasn't an option. Is this whole real estate thing going to work? We're like, we just swiped the card for $16,000. This thing got to work. we gotta pay Visa back, right?
Right.
So when you burn the ships, you got no option but to make it work.
Absolutely. And we had paid for specialized marketing, so we paid some experts to teach us marketing. So I tell people we didn't sign up with looking for whatever the best deal was, because we were literally paying experts 5, 10, 15,000 just to teach us their niche that they had, you know, perfected. And they're giving us their systems. Hey, this is the system that we use. And they didn't come to us and say, hey, well, this is what we use, but you can, I mean, since your budget isn't where ours is, you can use this, which is only $99 or $50. They're like, right, this is our system.
Yeah. It wasn't do this it for me. It wasn't like, okay, I'll give you a few $100 and do it for me. We're like, we're going to give you thousands of dollars. We want you to show us the whole system so we can do it for ourselves.
Right. Right. So we had the Podio.
That's really the secret, guys. If you want to learn how to leapfrog and how to have exponential growth, hire experts like Jerry, like ourselves. Find the experts in that niche and pay for that knowledge, and you're going to go a lot further, a lot faster.
Absolutely. And that's literally what we did to take our learning curve from years to months. So it took us up to about 8 months to a year to close our first deal.
No, it took us a year and a half.
Oh, a year and a half. Year and a half to close our first deal. And from our first deal,
it's been off to the races.
Within the first time, and within 6 months, we were already at a half a mil.
Wow.
And that was just because once we hit, we were off to the races, because we shortened our learning curve by getting experts in their niches. And not only did we get their knowledge, but we got their friendship, their expertise, their phone numbers,
referrals, contacts.
That's vendors. What people don't understand. Vendors. Yep. So whenever we ran into a problem, it was, hey, this happened. Can you, how do we navigate this? And they're like, oh, absolutely. This is what you do.
So your bread and butter is in wholesaling.
Yeah, so we're not wholesalers. We consider ourselves investors. Wholesaling is just an exit strategy,
right?
So we buy houses, we keep them, we buy them, we fix them up, we sell them, and sometimes we assign our contracts.
Or we'll wholetail. We do a lot of wholetailing, which is?
So wholetailing is actually buying an asset. And I'll give your viewers a quick tutorial. So this iPhone, right? This is the iPhone 10. I don't got the 11 like my wife, because she's fancy. But, you know, let's say I came across a box of these, right? It fell off the back of a box truck. I came across a box of these iPhones. They go for $1,000 retail. I got a box of them, right? So I'm going to sell them for a wholesale. If I want to get rid of them quickly, I'm not going to sell them for $1,000. I'm going to say, look, I got these for $300. I'm selling them to you for $600. So I bought them wholesale. Instead of selling in retail, because I want to sell them quickly, I sell them at wholesale as well. So that's wholetailing, combination between wholesale and retail. We do the same thing with houses. We find houses at steep discounts from motivated sellers, people who have divorced, inherited properties, lost a job, something crazy happened and they need to sell. They don't want to sell. They need to sell quickly. We come in, we buy it, and then we sell them to other investors.
No, then we put it on the MLS. Is wholetailing. We put it on the MLS and we sell it for retail. And that's wholetail. So that's another
Yes, honey.
strategy.
You guys have like all of the strategies.
Yes,
Yeah.
because you need
There's so many different
multiple.
ways to make
It
money in real
really is,
estate.
and not and a lot of people don't understand that not every deal is going to be a wholesale deal. And you
So
have to
is that your favorite exit strategy, wholesaling?
I
Wholesaling is one of our favorite exits. And again, we do it to buy and hold.
was
We've
mine is buy a
made
home.
$105,000 on one wholesale deal. So
Wow.
you make that now, you can take that cash and now you're a cash investor. You can go buy an apartment building in Chicago, in Cleveland with 105 grand. You're
Which
in the
is what
game
we
now.
did.
Exactly what we do.
Interesting. So I had read once that you guys have a program that teaches people how they can grow a real estate empire in a very, short amount of time. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Yeah,
Yeah, you want to tell like what made us start the program or
so we were sharing our story surrounding an app called Deal Machine and how it kind of exploded our business. And it's just an app that you use when driving for dollars to take pictures of properties and
so best part.
have them send out a postcard to the mailer, to the owner. And
This is
I
how the
ended up
postcard looks. We send thousands of these little postcards every month, and this can generate you anywhere from 10 to 30 to 50,000 a month in wholesale deals or flips just for sending out these silly little postcards.
Right. And so I ended up finding an app through another investor, Max Maxwell, and I took it and I started using it. And when I started using it, I just started, not really knowing what I was doing at the time. I was sending out postcards. And then all of a sudden, we started getting flooded with calls. Well, in the process of that, I was only taking pictures of really distressed properties. And that's just because I wanted some motivation. I saw motivation, so I wanted to assume that, okay, there's some type of motivation here. So all of a sudden, our phone blew up, and I started at that point deep diving more into this whole marketing thing. And I tailored our marketing around the markets that we were in. So Mark, Boston got different types of postcards, different types of marketing. As far as North Carolina. So they were two different, totally different markets. And I started deep diving. I brought it to my husband's attention, like, hey, listen, this is what I'm doing. Because he didn't want to use the app at first. And he was like, no, this is going to be something else we get. We're not going to end up using. So I said, okay, we're going to do it. Great. And I just started using it. Once all the deals started flowing in, he became a believer, just like a man. He
He
became a
said, "Show me the
believer.
money. Show me the
It
money." I said, "Okay, we're gonna work with
hit.
this."
So I funneled all of our marketing dollars really into Deal Machine. And I put together an entire system and program around Deal Machine. I had my mom out there driving for dollars for us. She was entering hundreds
Wow.
of properties a week. She had people under her driving for dollars.
What's wrong with driving dollars?
And
Because
driving for dollars is just, for anyone who doesn't know, driving around your neighborhood or any neighborhood and taking pictures of distressed properties or properties that look like they are not owner occupied,
so you can market to them.
so you can market to them, or owner occupied properties, because we even mail to owner occupied properties. We've sold owner occupied and wholesaled and bought and held owner occupied properties. It's just based off the numbers that come up on the app. And then we do a little deep dive in our own research to find out more information on the seller.
What about the program?
So with the program, we started getting flooded with emails and DMs on, hey, how do you do this? How do you do that? How did you guys do this? So our admin and our VA was like answering emails all day. Because we really wanted to answer questions, we just didn't expect them to come in so quickly and so heavy. And I was like, listen, people kept saying like, hey, you guys should do a course to show us how you did this. So I was like, okay, I kind of said it without saying it. Like I was like, yeah, we'll do a course. I didn't really know at the time. I didn't know all that went into doing
Then
a
people are like, well, when's it
course.
coming out? And we're like, okay, well, I guess
I guess we
we
really got to do it
yeah.
now. Like, was like, good Lord.
And it took us like almost a year, yeah, 6 months to put together the course because we're such perfectionists. So we like to over-deliver in anything that we put out. We're also gurus. We're not the gurus out there talking about something that we've never done or something we did 10 years ago. We're actively every single day building our real estate business, opening and launching other businesses. We just came from looking at a 7-unit apartment building that we're going to put a bid on today. So we're gurus. We're doing this every day. So our program shows exactly how to use what my wife said, driving for dollars, sending out direct mail to owners to buy properties and make a ton of money.
And you've made $500,000 in 6 months using these type of strategies.
Right. Yeah,
that's just the tip of the iceberg. That doesn't count the properties we bought and we're sitting on, we own, and we're collecting all this cash flow and rent from. That doesn't count those properties.
Right. Wow, that's amazing. You both are doing wonderful. And I wonder, you know, how do you juggle all of this in a family life? Like, how do you do that?
It's not easy.
It's
not easy. People, they may look at us and think it's easy, but it's a lot of work.
It is a lot. And I think the only thing that I tell people that makes it worthwhile and makes it a lot easier is because we're both in the business. It's a lot harder when one spouse is in the business and the other one doesn't want to have anything to do with it. Because when they don't want to have anything to do with it, then they're not going to understand that spouse's grind. They're not going to understand wanting to talk about houses, wanting to go out and drive for dollars. So we were talking about it like this weekend when we were in Chicago, and we were talking about how it's amazing to be around individuals who, when we get into a different town and we all just talk business, all different types of business, houses, other franchises, just to talk about something that a majority of people may find to be boring or like, okay, I don't really have anything, to do with that. So for us, it's easy because we both talk about business all day, every day. So if it's not about business, our kids, our vacation.
And if you want to be successful in business, you got to become obsessed with it.
Absolutely.
It's got to take up every living, waking, breathing hour. I'm sorry to say, that's the reality. If you just dibble and dabble, which I've done before, you won't get much results. Yeah. But we became obsessed with building our business, building wealth, building a legacy. That's how you have to do it.
I agree with that wholeheartedly. I do find that when you really believe in something, when you're just convicted in what you do and the goals that you have, it's amazing what you can achieve.
Absolutely.
But you gotta actually believe it. You're right. Sell yourself on the idea that you are gonna make 7 figures this year, or the fact that you are gonna build a multi-million dollar empire that you can pass down for generations to come. And some people haven't even sold themselves on their own ideas and their own dreams. So I do believe. I believe.
I believe. Yes. Right. You. They're still trying to convince themselves.
Yeah.
The question is, how do you convince yourself? How do you program your mind? It comes back to mindset, right? What is your mindset? Oh, I have a screwed up mindset. I used to, right? I used to listen to nothing but rap music and trap music. I still listen to a little bit here and there, but not as much as I used to. But when you're flooding your mind with all that stuff, it comes out in your beliefs and your thoughts and your actions. If you're constantly filling your mind with podcasts, you know, about credit, about business, about entrepreneurship, you're watching YouTube, you're going to seminars, that stuff is going to flow out of you as well through your vibration. So it comes back to your mindset. Then the beautiful thing is you can actually program your mind. Your brain is a huge computer. So if you put in negative, negative is going to come out eventually. Right. If you put in positive, you're overloading yourself with information and positivity, that's what's going to come out. So literally what we've done is we programmed our minds through filling it with positive people like yourself, positive podcasts, empowerment, entrepreneurship, all that stuff. And lo and behold, that's what you manifest once you're putting that stuff into yourself.
So true. I love that. You reap what you sow.
Yep. Absolutely.
You do. So last question that I have for you is, what Like, what guidance would you give a couple, a new couple, older couple, people that are, you know, married? What I guess advice would you give for those people that want to get started in real estate investing, but they're not really sure where to start?
You can do, you want to do someone who's an individual, I'll do someone who's a couple.
See, I always got to take the good one. No, I'm just playing.
You want to do the couple?
No, you can do it. This is the couple whisperer. At some point, she's going to come out with a book and something on relationships, because she's like, Oprah just don't know about her yet. But no, really, what advice would I give somebody looking to get started? I would go back to the mindset thing. I would start with your mindset. Start watching the podcast. Start getting out to these meetups and meeting other entrepreneurs. Yes. Start hanging out, associating around better crowd of people. Why? Because you are the average of the five people you spend the most time with. You're the average financially. Your credit score is going to be the average of their credit score.
Yep.
Your bank account, your spiritual, your emotional, all that stuff. Because you're spending time around them, you're going to end up getting into what these people are doing. Now, if you hang around with a bunch of losers, what do you think is going to happen? Eventually, you're going to fall into that pattern. Again, it may be uncomfortable at first to hang around people who are on a higher level. It was for us, right? I was like, I don't want to hang around these people. They're doing like 10 times more than me. I'm going to feel out of place, all this stuff. When I finally said, screw it, listen, if I want to improve, if I want to level up, I got to get around people who are doing way better than me so I can level up. That's what we've done.
See, I knew that from the beginning. So I told him when we met.
She knew that.
I said, all your friends are going to be going where we about to go.
She did say that. Yeah.
I said, so I'm just going to let you know, be aware of it early on so I know mixed feelings. I even told him, I said, listen, you need to stop answering your phone for all them. And stop making yourself so readily available. And the moment he did that, he saw a complete change in everything and everyone around him.
I fought it at first. Yes, I was like, oh, these are my boys, you know, this and that. We watch football, we hang out, we go to the club, all this stuff. Now I don't hardly do any of that stuff. I mean, I do it in small doses and I don't really miss it because I'm going in a whole nother direction.
Right. And now they're on him like, hey D, what's going on? Can I get on your schedule so we can kick it? Just have a general conversation. What do you got going on? Now all his friends are all of a sudden interested in real estate. They want to talk real estate with him and stuff like that. But I told him somebody got to separate from the pack.
That's true.
And I would say for couples who are going into the business, I would say one, trust your partner. And trust the person that you're going into business with. Know their strengths. One of the things that the reason why, you know, we didn't have a lot of the problems early on is because the moment I said, hey, listen, I'm interested in you, you know, and I said, okay, listen, yes, let's start this journey on dating. I trusted him. So I didn't get into, I tell people you're either the person who trust someone from the beginning, or you're the person who makes a person earn their trust.
Yeah.
I'm the person who, I trust you from the beginning. You have my trust until you don't have it anymore. The reason why I'm like that is because I don't have time to make you jump through hoops and hurdles to earn my trust. But once you lose it, it's gone. That's just literally how I'm wired. So when we met, and when I tell people, you know, we were talking for 2 months, we might have just been dating for 2 months, and he said, hey, I got an idea to rent your place out. I was like, okay. I didn't say, oh, well, I don't really know you like that. No, it was, you know, it was, okay, let's do it. And whatever he said, I said, okay, let's do it. Next business. Okay, let's do it. Because I trusted him. So you got to know your partner, trust your partner. Every failure is our failure. If even when we got evicted from my apartment, was I upset?
You were a little bit.
No, but I was moody. I just got pregnant.
So yeah, we found out we have our first.
We had just found out. I didn't care. We had already made $40,000. I was already at his house, so I really didn't care. I wasn't upset, and it didn't make me trust him any less from the eviction.
Moving in with me now.
That's it. Like, but I trusted him, and I trusted where he was going to lead us. So that's what I tell people in the beginning. Trust your partner and then have clearly defined roles in your business. We have very clearly defined roles in our business relationship. We have meetings every week. We talk business every day, but we have a clear-cut meeting, a scheduled meeting for us to go over our week and what's coming up ahead. Mm-hmm. And he knows his roles. I know my role. And we don't cross. We don't mingle. He has the final decision for his roles. I have the final decision with anything that I'm over. And if it's something that is no one has, is kind of in the middle, he has the final say on mm-hmm. what happens in that decision. So you have to make sure you have clearly defined roles in your business. And it has to be business when you meet. It can't be like, oh, I love you. Oh, I love you too. And the little kisses and stuff. It has to be a business.
We got time meet. For that later.
Right. So that's what I would give for any couple who's in the business. Trust your partner that. And have clearly define your roles from the very beginning. Don't wait until you're already in and then try and come back and be like, okay, what should I be doing? Because I get that question a lot. And what should he be doing? And things of that nature. So figure out early your strengths. So we know what his strengths are. We know what my strengths are and what I like to do. I always tell couples, don't assign your husband a role or don't assign your wife something to do because they may hate it and not really do anything. And you just don't know until it comes time. And you're like, hey, well, how come this is never done? You didn't really ask them if this is something that they would like to do.
True.
So sit down and have that conversation. What is it that you like to do? What are you really good at? What are some of your strengths? Have that conversation.
Do you need to hire somebody? Because maybe it's, you're good at A, your partner's good at B, but the skill set you need is C.
Yep.
Maybe you need to hire somebody to fill that skill set.
Absolutely. Financials is a big one. If you're both not great at financials, I always tell people, you need to get a bookkeeper quick, especially if you're starting to do deals and stuff. Get a bookkeeper. We don't have a problem with paying, as you can see, for anyone who has a skill that we may lack.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And so it really boils down to the simple fact that you all have really invested. You've invested time and you have invested money.
A lot of money.
Right, in order to bring yourself to this position here. And so what I would love to do is I want to, first of all, give the viewers a way to get in contact with you. Give us some more information about your course and how people can get in tune with that as well, because you all are definitely the leaders, you know, the leaders of the pack that people should be following, especially couples, so that they can keep themselves, people that have families, people that have children, people that really just want to have a real estate investing career. Let us know how can we get in contact with you. Let us know how we can check out that course too.
Yeah, so our course, you would go to drivingfordollarscourse.com. drivingfordollarscourse.com is gonna give you all the information on the course. We even offer free strategy sessions. These are calls with our team where you can discuss your goals, your marketing plans, what's working, what's not working. And our team will advise you on whether our course is a good fit for you. So drivingfordollarscourse.com. Of course, if you want to follow us, Be Polite. B as in Brian, E as in Edward, Polite, which is our last name. So if you go on YouTube, search Be Polite Properties. We have a huge following on YouTube. We share in-depth videos behind the scenes in and out of these properties. But we also share about some of the other business ventures we have going on. So make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel. You get a lot of behind the scenes content. And of course, Instagram, Be Polite Properties, Facebook, right. Be Polite Properties. So yeah, we look forward to connecting some a lot of new followers.
And we have a private Facebook group for couples that are in entrepreneurship. So you have to be married or engaged. And if you are in entrepreneurship, you're thinking about getting into entrepreneurship or just want to be around people in hopes of soaking up some of that for you and your partner, then that's definitely the place to be. I have a ton of stuff planned for that group called in 2020. And it's really just basically, you know, helping everyone add a couple more revenue streams to their business. So a ton of stuff coming up in 2020. And that's called The Copreneur. So Facebook group is called The Copreneur, C-O-P-R-E-N-E-U-R, Copreneur.
I love it. So y'all check on their course. Connect with them on Instagram, YouTube. Check out the YouTubeversity. Get connected, get in tune.
Yes.
I'm really appreciative of your time today, my friend. Thank you so much for sharing.
You're welcome.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. So excited. So thank you all for tuning in for today's session with The Polite. You can always watch it if you want over the next 24 hours. After that, this is going to be locked away and only All Access Pass members can check this out. So if you not have picked up your All Access Pass now, click the button below so that you can get that deal on the All Access. You can get all the information about The Polite 24/7 for a lifetime. And I look forward to seeing all of y'all's success. We're going to have more videos coming up. Tomorrow, we're going to follow up with some more real estate investing, debt payoff, money management strategy for entrepreneurs. So thank you again, The Polite. We will see you all next time.
Thank you. Bye.